My brothers and sisters, in May I'll complete 45 years as a priest. And during that time I've celebrated masses halfway up Bear Mountain in Mexico, in front of a pigsty in Honduras, for scouts and parish groups and state parks in this country, on the beach with teenagers from the youth group in my parish, and under a tent at a big parish mass in the field. And if those participating in those masses came to worship God in spirit and in truth, then as Jesus says in the gospel, the place where the mass took place made no difference in its being acceptable worship to God the Father. Yet it is fitting that when circumstances allow, we build beautiful buildings and adorn them with art, in order to contribute our human talents to our worship. I don't think that offends God at all. I think he's pleased with it. Now the Hebrews, do you notice when St. Stephen is speaking to the council of the elders in Jerusalem, he says the Hebrews did that first in a tent. It was not a pup tent, folks. This was a big, big tent, elaborate, and I'm sure it took time to put up and time to take down. But it was a tent that Moses seen a vision of it from heaven and had it constructed that way on earth for the Hebrews, and it traveled with them in the desert and later was with them in the Promised Land in the early phase of their life there. And then later, of course, King Solomon built a great temple in Jerusalem. It was ranked as one of the great wonders of the ancient world. Then the Assyrians came in and knocked it down. Okay. Erecting buildings for worship also makes very practical sense. Someone asked the architect Antoni Gaudí, who designed the Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona, Spain. If you haven't ever seen that, go to on the internet and find the Sagrada Familia, Sacred Heart, Sacred Holy Family, rather, a basilica in Barcelona. It's weird, but in a nice way, okay? But he designed it, and he was asked once why Christians spend so much money on churches. And he replied, to protect us from the wind and the rain and the sun. From my experience, he might have added, from flies and mosquitoes and other little critters. So Bishop John Swint decided to build a new cathedral 100 years after St. James, the first Catholic church in Wheeling, was built, and that church served as the cathedral for the early part of this diocese's existence. The cornerstone of this current cathedral was blessed in 1924, and the building consecrated on this very day in 1926. Bishop Swint said he wanted this cathedral to be symbolic of all that the Catholic Church stood for. Symbolic of all that the Catholic Church stood for. Its grandeur, its the beautiful mosaic stained glass windows and depictions of saints and sacraments helped to fulfill that goal in the religious sense. But the social context was important too. The 1920s, were a time of resurgent anti-Catholicism. The Ku Klux Klan was active against Catholics as well as against blacks and Jews. And Governor Al Smith of New York would face intense anti-Catholic sentiment in his quest for the presidency just 2 years after this cathedral was consecrated. Bishop Swint wanted to make a statement in stone, magnificent stone, that said, we Catholics are here, we belong here, and we're not going away. St. Peter says in his first letter that we are living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of the edifice. Now, as imposing and beautiful as this cathedral is, and many other churches are as well, far more imposing and beautiful are the lives of men and women who serve God day in and day out, offering Him not only their worship at divine services, but their sacrifices for others at home, at work, and in the community. If, as the psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling, Lord God of hosts," certainly he must have had a vision of this cathedral, right? St. Stephen in the first reading reminds us, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. He dwells in his faithful ones who serve him, and he welcomes their worship when they enter a church, humble or magnificent. For God wants true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus himself is our way to the Father and the fullness of truth that sets us free. The Holy Spirit unites us to the risen Christ so that we may live the truth in love. Whether we pray in our room or in a great cathedral, take part in Mass in a farmyard or in a famous basilica, it is our faithfulness to living day by day in union with the Lord Jesus that makes our prayer and our worship an acceptable sacrifice to the Father. Each of us is a living stone in the spiritual edifice of the church. And together, united to Christ, the cornerstone, we show forth the glory of God when we respond to God's word and live in love. So we thank Bishop Swint and all who collaborated with him for giving us such a splendid cathedral church, the mother church of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. And along with protecting us from the weather and the insects, its lofty height and colorful art inspire us to reach higher and to frequent the sacraments and imitate the saints whose images adorn these walls. This cathedral church continues to insist silently that we Catholics are here, we belong here, and we're not going away. Whenever we gather here to celebrate the church's liturgies, may we remember that the building is meant to facilitate our worship of God in spirit and in truth, that is, in union with Jesus Christ, a worship that continues when we leave church as we offer God acceptable spiritual sacrifices in heartfelt prayer and service to our neighbor.